Son, you have to be ready to roll on this one here, because this is just coming one of these times. You just slow, how you see fit, because I don't quite know where this is going and where it's going to end. So where it's going to start and where it's going to end. So. All right, we'll pray and we'll jump right into this. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today, and we thank you for just another opportunity to present ourselves to you. We seek wisdom and understanding, and we just bless you in advance for you giving it to us. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. Now, as you know, as we are well aware of, all of us are well aware of, we are in the renovation stages of our of our Remnant Center. And when you look at the meaning of that word remnant, it means to excel, to abound, in a nutshell. And there are some things that will happen as a result of it, that is happening now, as you know, because of these things. And so this particular lesson here, Yah is just reminding us and getting us prepared for what He is doing. And so it's vitally important for us to understand what we've been called to do, and to prepare for what we've been called to do. Okay. Again, with the name, the Remnant Center, it is a symbol of what will take place on our campus across the board, and what we've been doing is making making an effort to the best of our ability for that campus to represent what we've been called to do as far as the kingdom is concerned. And I just thank y'all for all the people that He put in my life. You know, and I'll say this, you know, I've said this, you know, quite a few times, and I'll say it now. You know, I'm just excited and proud. I'm excited and proud to be the pastor of United Ministries Church, and the you know, the overseer of what Yah has called us to do as far as the kingdom is concerned. I'm excited and proud at the same time. Proud because excited because of what Yah is doing. It's a wonderful thing to know that Yah's hand is upon you to carry out His mission. It's a great experience, and then it's exciting also to see Yah doing something, and you know, and I've been mentioning these two people quite a bit in these last few lessons, because I've been having the most encounters with them from a perspective of the project, and so I'm going to use them again against their will and all that. and that's Elder and Mama Coach. And the reason why is because I communicate with those two on a regular basis about things that's going on with the project, and so they're especially at the stages of it now, which is a violent stage. I'm doing a lot of communicating with her because she's designing things. Elder's working with her and designing things, and what I've done is I've laid out the overall vision, and they're putting together the details, and in watching them as we've been dealing with the lessons about the gifts and things like that, watching them with our gift and putting our gift in operation is an awesome experience, because it lets me know that not only have I been gifted to the highest degree to do what I've been born to do, but they also have been gifted to the highest degree. And everybody else who is doing something in ministry, although I may not be mentioning your name, I'm just talking about what's happening at present. You have to understand that each one of you that is a part of this ministry, this project, this that is connected to the kingdom of God, something that God is doing, you have to realize your potential like we are realizing ours. I realize my potential. I used to deny it quite a bit. I love this church. We just be ourselves. As soon as I should say that, he starts shaking his head like, yeah, he told me he should do that. But he's correct. He's telling the truth. And I love him for his encouragement in me to say, no, you accept what you are. You know, I've accepted what you are. You've accepted what you are. But you have to accept it at the degree by which you are, because I've accepted that. That's what he said. You know, that's what he would say to me when he would kind of rebuke me in a loving, you know, and respectful way. You know, he corrected me a lot about things, but he do it in a way to where, you know, it makes me proud to have someone in my life who I am, you know, who's following me, but yet, you know, I have the respect for his integrity, and that word's gonna pop up again. For his integrity, his sincerity, his honesty, and saying to me what God is leading him to say. And then, you know, I thank God for giving me the wisdom and the humility enough to accept it, you know, and things like that. So he used to always tell me all the time, he'd be like, okay, you just got to accept what you are. You got to walk in it. The more you accept it, the more you're going to walk in it. You know it. You admit it. But it's like, you know, you're trying to take the low road on this thing, and we need for you to take the high road on it, so to speak, and operate at the level by which we know, you know, you've been called to do, and we follow you as, you know, as our leader in that area. So, so from that perspective, his challenging me has caused me to challenge each one of you that's hearing. You know, I got people that are here physically, you know, because of the way we're set up in some things. People are listening live via the internet and other avenues, and so, you know, conference call and all these things. So people are paying attention to the things that I'm saying. And so this is the word for each one of you. The same way that God has called me to operate to the highest degree, he has also called you to operate to the highest degree. To the highest degree, the highest standard of excellence that's necessary to bring his will to pass, because we serve the Most High God. There are a lot of other gods out there, but we serve the one who is supreme of all supreme. So I say it that way. He's supreme of anything that thinks it's supreme. There's nothing supreme but him. But if anything thinks that is supreme, then Yah is supreme over it. He's the God of all gods. He is the Most High Yah. There is none else beside him. And so with that perspective, we have to take on the same mindset, and knowing that what we've been called to do, we're called to do it to the highest degree. Thus, we've had meetings. I've been had meetings since this last Friday, even with, you know, construction people that are going to do some things, and even you know, talking with contractors that are going to do some things, and we're laying out the standard by which Yah has called us to, and we're like, we can't, you know, from you coming into this, you can't operate lower than the standard of excellence that Yah has called us to. And so you have to, each one of you have to understand, like I've had to take it personal and walk in it, you have to take it personal and walk in it and understand the fact that you are called to do something to the highest degree. The same way I'm called to do something to the highest degree, each one of you are called to do something to the highest degree. Well, again, using Elder Mama Tucker, since I've been working with them on a daily basis, you know, a lot of time, a lot of meetings, a lot of, conference calls and physical meetings and, you know, a lot of things we've been doing, even on yesterday, you know, we did some things together, accomplished a lot of things. I'm seeing them operate at that level, that same level of excellence. But here's what makes it awesome. In their lane, they're not trying to be me. I'm not trying to be them. And when they're in their lane, I'm under their mission. They'll tell you that. You know, they're like how my, Mama Coach said, for the first time I've ever been put in a position to do something and actually have complete authority to do it, even to the point where the one who given me the assignment to do it by the leading of the Spirit of Yah has come under the mission. And when I say, no, I see it this way, I submit. I submit and be like, okay, this is what Yah is showing you, because in your lane, your degree of excellence is higher than mine. Okay? And I have to accept that and respect that in every fashion. So each one of you, as we're coming off of the series of messages dealing with the gifts, each one of you have ability, you have gift, you have talent. As I pointed out, my gift, what I was born to do, what God has chosen me to do, is to unseal the scriptures. But yet, although that's my primary calling, my secondary are things that I can operate within my gift of unsealing the scriptures is grant writing. Okay? Well, that's something that fits within my gift. And so I'm analytical because I'm called to unseal the scriptures. And so that being analytical causes me to be tenacious when it comes down to paperwork and when it comes down to, filling out grants and documents and legal documents and all these different things. I'm just real tedious when it comes down to things like that. And so each one of you now has to understand that what's in your heart to do, what you're gifted to do as far as ministry is concerned, you have to realize that you've been called to do it to the highest degree, the highest standard of excellence. I have to encourage you, you are the best of the best, because we serve the best of the best, so to speak. Yah, He's the greatest of all gods. And so since He is, then everything that we do for the kingdom, He is given that responsibility because He's looking at us as being the greatest in what He's called us to do. Now, we know greatness comes with serving most of all. If you want to be great, you got to serve. And we're serving. We're giving our gifts to mankind for the glory of Yah, and all these wonderful things are happening as a result of these gifts. And so I've had the opportunity to sit back, watch them operate to the highest degree of excellence, and my mind could not come close to imagining putting together what they're putting together in their excellence. Whereas I've looked at some things and been like, yeah, that's nice. And then when I look at their knife, I go put my knife in a cone and cover it up and be like, man, my knife ain't nowhere close to what they knife is talking about. And so God is like, I'm putting people around you that operate at the highest degree of excellence, like what I've called you to do, so they can be that way across the board in every facet of our ministry, whether it's daycare, whether it's designing the building, whether that's we got even, we didn't know it, but we got aftercare programs going on. Now, with aftercare, that deals with the prison ministry and things like that, where people are coming out of the prison, and we have aftercare, where we're saying we're going to help these people get back in society and function in society the way that, it was intended for them to function. They served their time, and now they got to be received back into the community and got to be worked with to become a productive citizen. Well, that kicked off, and we really wasn't even trying to kick it off. But the time and the opportunity, you see something? Okay, but the opportunity presented itself, and here we are, And so we're helping guys that's coming out of the prisons and things like that. I'm dealing with probation officers and all this kind of stuff. And so God is constantly bringing everything to play, into play that he deems necessary for him to be glorified. And so what each one of you, again, have to understand is you have to accept it and operate it to the highest degree. God says there's no, this is what we could do, but we're going to do it. This way. Y'all said he, and I like what Elder said. He was like, you know what, he said, some people believe, and I'm paraphrasing it from how I heard it. He was like, some people believe Yah for cheap. He said, instead of believing Yah for the resources to get it to the highest degree. It's the same faith. It's just that one is believing Yah for a cheap car. It's still faith. And there's nothing wrong with a cheap car. But he's like, when is it going to come to the point where people are going to start coming up to the standard and believe Yah for the resources for the excellence, the highest degree thing? Why can't we can't believe Yah for the best? Because we were having meetings about dealing with certain things before our project is concerned. And so we was like, okay, you believe in Yah for this level, and we're believing Yah for the exact same thing that you are. It's just that we're believing Yah for it at this level here, this level of excellence. And we're not concerned about saying Yah move because the price was cheap. But we want to see Yah move whether the price is cheap or not, but it's still the standard of excellence that he wants. It's excellence. It's not how much it costs. It's the standard of excellence. So we can believe Yah for $100 million to get excellence, or we may pay $2 for the same excellence. Bottom line, we look at excellence, not price. Okay? And Yah will meet our need whichever way is necessary for these things to take place. So, again, I want to encourage each one of you to operate to the highest degree of excellence because it would require out of each one of us. It is required that we operate at this standard of excellence. So, Ella said to me on yesterday, he said, it's exciting to see, in a nutshell, what's been going on in our head materialize. It's one thing when we have dreams, but it takes us to a whole nother level when you walk in your dream. The physical presence of what you dream, and you know that Yah is walking with you because everything you had in your head, in your heart, mind, your heart is the mind. Everything you had in your heart, you're actually physically walking through it and seeing that this thing that's going on in your heart is not just your desire, but it's a desire that's been given to you to carry out. And to see Yah do it. And he was like, man, this is just exciting to see. Well, the day before that, I was talking to my coach, and she said this. She said, you know we're actually experiencing a miracle from Yah. She said, we're actually walking and experiencing a miracle of Yah. Everything that's happening about what we're doing as far as this ministry is concerned, we've been experiencing one miracle after another. One miracle after another. Things that has never been done in history, we are fulfilling these things. One miracle after another. I can just give you lists of miracles to show that Yah is saying, when are y'all going to realize? And I'm just saying from a perspective of just saying it, not saying that we don't. It's like Yah saying, when are you going to realize that I am walking with you in every facet of your life, and I'm showing up, and I'm doing something right in front of your eyes, and the things that you look at in the scriptures, and you're left at awe in seeing how Yah moved with the people of God in the scriptures, and God's saying, I'm doing the exact same thing with you. I'm doing miracles in your life, and y'all are walking miracles as a ministry. I'm not going to call the individual's name out, but Yah has given us a favor with a gentleman that I met at the building today. so much favor that there are some personal things that he asked me to do, and I'm not going to go into detail on that. And what I told him was this. I said, you know what, I look for relationships. And when I first met you, I said, there were some things that God showed me concerning your heart. And I just felt like, you know, you had a good heart. And I've seen your heart just from knowing you these few months, to the point to where there are some things that he want to do for us, and he's given us a great price, brand new things, and then not only that, he's turning around and giving us a donation toward it. You know, anyway, make a long story short, as we walked through our building today and we talked, he said this to me. I don't want to go into detail. I'm just going to say, he asked me to do a favor for him in reference to his son, and I just leave it at that. Won't tell any more because it's very personal. And so when he said to me, first thing I said to him, I said, well, if that's what you desire, then because of how I feel about you, I desire the same thing. And I desire the same thing that you desire. And when I said that to him, he said, and we're going to look at some scriptures. This is how we're going. When I said that to him, he immediately started to cry. Tears started coming out of his eyes, and he said, you know, he said, Lord, I greatly appreciate that. He said, this is why I asked you to do this for me. He said, because I want my son to see what's happening here. He said, and from him seeing what's happening here, it is going to change his life forever. Mark 15. He said, it's going to change his life forever just for him to come here and see what's happening. He said, because I remember how it was when I first came in, and I'm looking at what's going on now, and I'm seeing what he basically initially confirmed with, you know, Elder Monroe said, we're experiencing a miracle, and it's leaving me at awe. And now I understand why I'm bringing to the table what I'm bringing to the table to make sure this works. He said, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I don't deal with the city level based upon my occupation. He said, I deal with the state level. In other words, the documents that I fill out for your project is documents that go directly to the state. I can go completely around the city and they can't touch you. Because I deal with things on a level that is higher than dealing with the city. But you know, if you notice, that's what we've been doing lately. Because there are certain things that haven't been right to a certain perspective as far as the city is concerned. Yah has brought people in higher degrees of authority beyond what this city is capable of doing in order to bring his will to pass. That's what he's doing. So everybody that he's putting around us has a potential to operate at a higher level than even what the city is able to operate. Miracle. One after another. So he said in a nutshell, and here's what we're going to do. He said, we are going to do whatever we can to help y'all finish this. Because I see what y'all is doing. I see the type of man you are. I see the heart that you have for people. And I'm going to make sure that I bring my skill of excellence that is to the highest degree to the table and put it with the excellence that I see that's going on with you guys right now. So, again, I say that to say this. Yah is putting everybody that we're coming into contact with, Yah is putting them in our lives because they operate to the highest degree of excellence in that field. And he's making everybody who is connected to us in one fashion or another all come up to that high degree of excellence. Okay? Now, I said all that to say this, to get to this scripture here. Proverbs chapter 11. The first three is what I want, where I want to be. First three is where I want, to be, but I'm just trying to see if I want to. Yeah, I'm just going to read verse three. By the way, this is not confessions also. I'll just read verse three. Proverbs 11, verse 3, and we'll look at definition of meanings of this word to understand these verses. Now, Elder, remember, as I ever way, God starts to deal with you from these here, you know, you just take us wherever he leads you. Now, Proverbs 11, verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Then you have a colon here, because it shows you, I don't say it, a better way to put it, the equal opposite effect. In other words, he's showing you one side to it, and he shows you the other side to it in the same sentence, with the colon being there. That's why I have it highlighted here. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Okay. Now, we're going to look at a few words here to understand verse 3. It says the integrity. When you look at the word integrity, it starts out saying innocent. Okay. And as you run the reference on it, it means completeness, it means prosperity, but the connection to the innocence is morally innocent, okay, full of integrity. So a person who operates in integrity is someone who is morally innocent, okay? It also says simplicity, perfection, okay? Now, we've been talking about what excellence. In other words, when you look at this word integrity, it is another perspective of excellence. Because a person who operates in integrity is going to do something to the highest degree. Because they are doing it based upon a moral conviction of righteousness. So, and I'll give you an example. If I ask Elder to do something for me, I don't have to be concerned about the results. I know whatever he does for me is going to be with integrity. And so it goes beyond just honesty, but I know because of his moral excellence to do something for the glory of Yah, although he may be doing it for me, he know that he has something that's guiding him that will cause him to do for me to the highest degree, that excellence, perfection. Okay? And those are the type of people that Yah has put in my life. Each one of you, when it comes down to things that you do, as far as the ministry is concerned, when it comes down to things that you even do for me, it's always at a level whereby it's morally innocent. I'm looking at my friend Mitchell here. There are sometimes I ask him to do things for me, and we look out for each other. We've been knowing each one another since we were 6 years old. And so it's like every time I ask him to do something for me, I don't be concerned about, I wonder if he's going to do it with my best interest at heart. I know that when it comes down to our relationship, anything that he does for me, he's going to do it from a morally excellent perspective. It's excellent. Yeah,
I got another example.
Go ahead.
You said that what I see is almost like this. You can be legally innocent, but not morally innocent. And they have lies. You like the corporation. you can say, hey, if I put this in this food legally, I'm allowed to do it.
Right.
But from a moral sense, I can know if this is detrimental to people.
Right.
So legally I'm innocent, but morally I'm not innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did this, I knew you were going to cause problems.
Right.
But because I'm legally innocent, hey, I don't worry about it.
Right.
But there's a moral innocence that goes beyond what's legally innocent.
Exactly. And so when you look at it even from that perspective now, as we look at the word integrity, it means innocence morally. But then it points out who operates within that type of integrity, a person who's upright. And it lets us know from a perspective of upright is straight. Okay? When you look at the definition, it says the integrity of the straight, those who keep it straight, those who are as honest as it can be. In other words, that morally innocent is what guides that individual. It shall guide them. When you look at the word guide, it means by invitation to transport, to bring, to govern. So from that perspective, use the elder again, when I put an assignment in his hand, I don't have to be concerned about how it's going to turn out because I know what guides him. His uprightness to please Yah is what makes him morally innocent to carry out what I ask him to do. So I don't have to be concerned about it. Again, I'm using him in my folks again because we've been colliding in a good way. I say collide, I mean in a good way. We've been colliding, rubbing against each other because I'm talking about an anointing. We've been sneering on one another, and we're pulling out the best of one another in every facet, and I like how we do one another. If it ain't right, we challenge one another, and we receive the challenge because we know we're pulling out these challenges because of integrity. So when I call her with something and she questions it, it is from an integrity point of view that's saying, I want to make sure this is done to the highest degree of excellence, even to the point where, as you as my leader, pastor, I'm not going to let you mess it up. That's integrity. This thing, we're doing this so much for Yah that I'm not going to let you mess it up, although you gave it to me. I'm still not going to let you mess it up. So our conversations, if you just have a conversation, it might disturb you at times. Because we're constantly challenging one another. And like, no, wait a minute. Wait. No, pastor, no. That's not how we doing it. Now, first of all, if a pastor then operating in integrity, I'm tooting my own horn right now for the glory of y'all. If the pastor then operating in integrity, first of all, I would have been like, look at him, ma'am. I'm the pastor here. What do you mean, no? Just because you said no, I'm going to change it. Because I'm the pastor. And now it's all messed up. It's not at the highest degree of excellence because I'm now not operating in the integrity as the upright, letting that guide me to say, look, she's no better than you. You go sit down somewhere. So they'll tell you a lot of times when they start getting deep, they'll tell you, I skipped out. I'll be way over yonder on the other side of the building, looking out the window, having visions about it being finished, and don't be caring about whatever they saying because I know that their integrity is what's guiding them, and it's going to be way more than I can think or ask for you. In the kingdom, we got to operate at this level of integrity. Integrity, moral innocence has to be the guiding force behind everything we put our hands to.
It can't be money. I think, unfortunately, so many people, their accomplice is money. And I'll use this example, another example. Okay, I'm selling something. I know it's only worth this, but because I know you're ignorant, I'm going to sell it to you for 5 times then.
Right.
Just because I can. Legally, you may not have any recourse.
Mm-hmm.
But morally, you knew that was wrong when you did that to that person. So you have so many people that operate in so many fields without this integrity.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the discussion that me and you had when we were talking about stuff after the fact. It's like,
right.
Okay, I want to operate in all these spaces Well, we don't price gouge people.
Right.
You know, our bottom line ain't dollars. We want to give you a fair amount of service
right.
for a fair amount of dollars.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about, oh, are they trying to get over on me?
Right.
That's how it is with most people.
Right.
If somebody come at you, your whole guard is up because you know people trying to get over on you for something. And I'm like, okay, it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
There should be something that guides you from the perspective of, I don't want them to do me wrong, and I'm not going to do them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come and we provide a service or whatever, that's the expectation. It ain't, you know, my focus ain't so much on money that I'll make that money on stepping on your back. Does that make sense?
Right. Because when you look at individuals who are like that, we're going to, remember I said, this scripture shows you two sides. So it also led us into the other side, so let's look at it. It says now, but the perverseness. In other words, those who are morally innocent, they're upright, and because they're upright, they operate morally from a moral perspective, that's their guide. Morally, or morals guide me. Morally upright is what guides me. So I can't do you wrong because I know morally that's not upright. But then there's someone now on the flip side of that, as Elder pointed out, they rather price gouge you because they are perverse. As you look at it here, it says, but the perverseness, the word perverseness is viciousness, distortion. What is when you distort something? Distortion. We run other references on it again. To wrench, to burn, overthrow, pervert. So when it says the perverseness, someone who's always, as Elder pointed out, looking for the opportunity to get something from you, that's beneficial to them, but to your own detriment. That's beneficial to them, but to your own detriment.
I think it ties back to verse 1.
Yeah, it does. That's why I was saying I didn't want to read it, but we can read about verse 1 because that's really what it's dealing with. So go ahead and read verse 1 since you took us there.
It says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but a just weight is his delight. So basically, a false balance would be, hey, I'm telling you, this is a pound of rice. So you know back in the day they had that scale
yeah.
that you put on this side a pound and then that tells you how much of a pound or whatever you're giving. Well, if I'm a cheater, then my weight that I'm judging by is not a pound. It's like, let's say, 3/4 of a pound. And so I'm telling you I'm giving you a pound of rice, but really it's only 3/4 of a pound of rice, right? So that's an unjust scale. So when you look at even in stuff that we were talking about, right? If I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do it right. I'm not trying to skew it in my favor. I'm not trying to say, I'm telling you I'm giving you 5-star service, and you paying 5-star prices, but I'm really giving you 2-star service.
Right. The way that the scales work back during the scripture days is the money would weigh the amount of the product that you were purchasing. And so they would put that product on one side of the balance and pour the coins on the other side of it. And when it balanced out, that's what you paid. So that coin, the coin value in weight was the same balance as far as the item that you were purchasing. And that way they made sure that they wasn't overcharging you for something because you got the way that they was, instead of like you do to go to the store today, it was like a loaf of bread is what, I ain't brought bread in so long, $3-4 I don't know how much bread cost. So now we bread, all folks and stuff like that. So, where, you know, like Elder said, that loaf of bread used to cost 50 cents when things were balanced right. But now it's like they say, you get that same loaf of bread, you just take $6 for an example. Well, that 50 cents back in the day would balance the scale and it would be fair. But nowadays, it's like what you're getting, what you're paying in reference to what you're getting is nowhere close to the quality or the equal amount of what it took for you to make that bread. It take much to make the bread, but yet you're getting this much profit and you only spent this much. Look, that's imbalance. Whereas where others pointed out, they feel that balance is something that you're benefiting from what you actually put into it. You're reaping what you actually sow. And very few people do that nowadays. And so when you look at that false balance, that's what it's dealing with. You have something else you want to see on that. And okay, so again, a false balance is an abomination. When you look at the word abomination, it means morally. There you go, that word. It means it's morally wrong, disgusting morally, as you can see it here. Something disgusting morally, so an abomination is something that disgusts y'all. So y'all said, when we don't operate in integrity, balance, but when we're cheating people and we're getting the benefit, there's nothing wrong with getting gain, but not at the expense of somebody else. Okay? It has to be with integrity associated with it. Like what the elder pointed out, if there are things that we'll do, whereas it'll generate resources for us, but it will be at a balanced scale of generating resources. Okay? Won't be grossly overpriced like you see things are today. So it's morally disgusting. That's what abomination means. It says, but a just weight, because it lets you know a balance and a weight is one, and it's similar, okay, because it says balance here is scale, and then when you look at weight, it means through the meaning of a stone, you know, carved off a mason is his delight. In other words, John's saying in a nutshell, when things are done just, so you look at just here, it means complete, peaceably, perfect. In other words, when we come to the table, both of us should get up feeling good about the transaction. That's one of the things I always said to people when I dealt with them as far as this project is concerned. I would say, look, I'm not here to get over on you. Neither am I here to allow you to get over on us. I want us to work something out where we both can get up from the table and say, I can live with that. That's a balanced scale. Well, both of us can get up and say, I got a good deal, and the individual saying, I'm doing this and getting a good deal. That's a balanced scale. And so when it says that is his delight. A false balance is abomination unto Yah. Yah said, but when you sit down and come to an agreement that is right, that both of you can get up and feel good about it, he said, that's my delight. I delight in those type of transactions. Then he points out the problem. Pride is what causes this. Glad you took it back up there. He said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom, because it takes a person who operates in a humility in order to operate. It takes a humble person to operate in integrity. A prideful person is the one who's always trying to rip you off. That's the person that operates in pride. That's why 1, 2, and 3 is in association from that perspective. Pride is what causes a person to want to cheat you out of the product that they're giving you, because they're all about me. I want to consume it up on myself, so I'm going to give you the littlest quality and get the biggest return on it. That's pride. That is how this system operates. That is the business world that we live in today. It's all based in pride. We know the scripture says pride goes before destruction, the haunted spirit before fall. Okay? You have something else. Okay. Then it says, when pride cometh, verse 2, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, shame is on its way. Okay? Pride cometh, shame. Shame means confusion, dishonor, ignominy. Ignorance, reproach. I guarantee you, if you want to cause an ignorant person that do foolish stuff, that's the individual operating pride. When you be like, man, that don't make no sense. You're looking at a prideful individual when you experience that type of thing coming from a person, or when it's coming from us. Okay? When pride cometh, then cometh ignorance. Then cometh stupid things, crazy decision making, all these things. But the lowly now, when you look at the word lowly in verse 2, it says lowly, humility, humble. what lowly means. A humble person uses wisdom. That's wisdom when we operate in humility. Okay? Then that's what it says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. The integrity of the upright causes us to operate in humility, which brings about wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides us and calls us to make sure that we're doing things that's balanced. Look, I don't want to cheat you, and I don't want you to cheat me. Balance. Let's do this right. Let's do this where y'all can have delight in both of us. Okay? Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in a day of wrath, but righteous delivered from death. I don't care how much money you got, when folks realize you done cheated them out of their money, their money ain't going to get you out of that den. But when a person operates in righteousness, it keeps them from getting in bad situations that may cost them their life. You know, I'm the preacher, but I get crazy when I find out somebody's trying to cheat me and all this. You know, I get to thinking crazy. I'm just like, let me go off this don't make no sense. Because that scripture has to be fulfilled. When a person is operating in wickedness, I mean, it causes some unrighteous things to take place, man. All kinds of doors open up when we operate this in wickedness like this. So on the other hand, when we operate in righteousness, it'll deliver us from any bad circumstance. Integrity will always keep us from harm's way. Whether that's judgment from y'all or getting in a bad situation with an individual, because you know you find out that they cheated you or we cheated someone. And it just continues on, verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Integrity, righteousness, doing things, you know, to the highest degree of excellence. Those things causes our ways to be directed, and things are always going to come out right. But on the other hand, people who cheat, who are always trying to get over, you know, who operate in pride, who operate in perverseness, they're going to end up coming, their day is coming. Verse 3, destruction, possibility of death. And falling. In other words, you know, these type of people always end up. The funny thing about people that I've seen operating wickedness or operating wickedness on a regular basis, it's like no matter how much money they gain from their wickedness, it's like they got a bag with holes in it. They'll cheat someone and make it $1 million, boy, before you know it, they $2 million in debt 40 years ago. It's like y'all raising it. It's like you're like, man, did you just get paid? Or did you just do this in? And it's like you got a hole in your pocket, man. It's like you went down the road and all your money was rolling down the street. We understand that when these things are happening, we're looking at individuals who operate with a lack of integrity, who operate in wickedness, who operate in perverseness, who operate in pride, who's always trying to look to get over. You see the manifestation of these things happening in people's lives who operate that way. Take 2 steps forward and 5 steps backwards. You know. Man, you was here yesterday like you were off today, man. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own knowledge. You know, y'all, like, if you righteous, then it'll be circumstances that that are happening, you get delivered from it. He said, but when it operates in transgressors, when you look at transgressors, let's look at the word. Verse 6, transgressors, means to cover covertly, deceitfully. So that's what that word is letting us know. Someone who's treacherous is someone who deals deceitfully, unfaithful. Okay? And I mean, all of us probably know someone who's operated like this, and you can attest that this scripture is telling the truth. That transgressor is always taking in their own knowledge. All the time. You know? Their own wickedness, that's what knowledge means. Their own ruin, their own mischief. In other words, those who do mischief in order to accomplish things, they always get caught up in their own mischief. You know, the very mischief that they use to get ahead is the same mischief that caused them to fall. Heaven's nowhere across the board. Okay. Did you see anything else in there? If not, because of the time, I think I'm going to go ahead and stop on time. We may pick up some other things with this later on if y'all leads us to do that. But in a nutshell, that's why I wanted to discuss this lesson on tonight, because y'all is setting up a standard. And he's causing all of us to operate to the highest degree of excellence possible. And he wants to see each one of us be successful in the manner by which he's called us to be, and the potential that he's put in us to be that. You know, I have a cliche that I always say, that anything that I do, whether that's for me or you, I'm going to do it like it's mine. If I do it for me, I'm going to do it to the highest degree because it's mine. If I do it for you, I'm going to treat it like it's mine. That's morally innocent. Okay? And we want to make sure that we do that, because that's what Yah has called us to do. All right, I'm finished. Any questions or comments from anybody? We're good. Okay. All right, Father Yah, we just bless you on tonight. We thank you for bringing us into another path of understanding. We declare that we're all a work in progress. We're striving toward perfection. Just continue to lead and guide us in the to have the mindset to operate at this level of integrity that you call us to. And we just bless you for loving us enough to reveal to us the truth in your word. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.